Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey,
hey. Hey, what's up, man?
Brother,
oh,
what's up?
This is a two-bit party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
You are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And boy, do we have a show for you today. It's a wonderful show. It's a beautiful show. It's a very we have some interesting topics. But we want to start off this morning, because last week, Monday, we were talking about some things that were deeper than the ocean, higher than the mountain, and swifter than the rivers. We talked about a case where a young lady was assaulted by a security officer. She was an African-American lady. And then we talked about a mother, an elderly mother, who was in a retirement home, and some kind of way somebody hit her on the left side of her face and gave her a black eye. Now, you would think that when you're an elderly person in an elderly a retirement home, that you're going to be treated good, because, like, if you've been working all your life and you were an attorney or you were a doctor or a school teacher or whatever, you paid your dues already. You paid your dues. So now you're in a retirement home, you're relaxing, and somebody's working there and they're beating up the elderly people. That is out of control and out of just, it's just crazy. You put your loved one in an elderly retirement, adult care home to be get three meals a day, to be bathed and washed up and fed real good. Instead, they're being abused. That's called elderly abuse. So Friday, we did a press conference on that. We had Sharon there, and her mother was Mrs. Smith, the lady who was involved, and we had other members there. If you want to see it, you go to Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook, and you can see the press conference, the whole thing from the beginning to the end. And I want to say good morning to you very much. Good morning, Cousin V. I see you there all the way out there in Florida. I see everything is lit up here. I see the phones are lit up, and praise the Lord for the phones being lit up this morning. And praise God for each and every one of you. Now, we're going to get into some really deep stuff this morning. Let me start off by telling you, I don't know if you guys remember this. I need you to remember this right now. Everybody on Facebook Live, please tag 10 people right now. Tag 10 people on Facebook Live. Listen, let me go to this really quick, and I want to share this with you. I want you to listen to this loud and clear, okay? I want you to listen to this loud and clear. And let's see if I can get it here on this morning. Now, a young lady who had a mental disability was buying weapons in the state of Tennessee, and this is why we need gun control. We don't need assault weapons on the streets. We do not, I repeat, we do not need assault weapons on our streets. The only people that should be carrying assault weapons are police officers and National Guards and the United States Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, and the Coast Guards. Other than that, or the FBI, or the CIA, or the DEA, but other than that, no one should have access to, assault weapons, especially if you have a mental disability, especially. This young lady went to the school in Nashville, Tennessee, shot out the doors, went inside, and there was a pastor who had a daughter that went there. I think the young lady might have been 5 or 6 years old. Bless her heart. Her mission was to kill that pastor's daughter, and she succeeded in doing that. Now, I don't know what he did to her, and that's not what the story is all about. The story is about a young lady who had a mental disability who was able to go and buy several guns, and her parents did not know, supposedly did not know, that she had these weapons in the house. I want you to listen to this, and then we're going to talk about it for just a moment, but just listen to it.
Their way into the small private Presbyterian school, shooting right through locked glass doors. The video also shows the armed person entering a church office and later stalking the halls with an AR-style weapon drawn, one of three firearms investigators say the shooter had.
We believe two of those have been obtained legally, locally here.
Police calling the attack on the Covenant School targeted, adding the shooter left behind detailed plans of the deadly assault.
We have a manifesto. We have a map drawn out of how this was all going to take place.
Police identifying the shooter as 28-year-old Audrey Hale, they say is
trained. Believe that there was some resentment for having to go to this.
Okay. Audrey, you heard it here on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. This is the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Audrey has a mental disability, yet she was able to go out and buy an AR-15 and other assault weapons and handguns, and she had her backpack full of weapons with plans. And hey, Vera, how are you this morning? This morning we're going to send a special prayer out for Vera. She will not be doing health and wellness today. She's out, and we're going to keep her in prayer that she'll be back next week. I'm sure she will 100%. This is so important for us to understand why assault weapons do not need to be on our streets, because this human being who did get this weapon went to the school, shot out the doors, went further into the school, searched out the little girl she was looking for, and shot and killed a total of six people before the police were able to corner her and unfortunately shoot her to her death. Had they not done that, I'm quite sure she would have killed more people, human beings. This happened in Nashville, Tennessee. And this story is going somewhere. It has something to do with, I see you, Bishop Taylor. Amen. Praise God, Bishop Taylor. Hallelujah. I'll see you on Facebook, and I'm going to call you, too, because we'll get to that in just a few minutes. So Audrey, she planned this out. She had a manifesto. She planned to go to the school and kill the people. She planned on killing more people. That's why she had all those weapons. Now, assault weapons should be banned in the United States of America. The whatever the Rifles Association or the Armed, whatever the name of they are, I could care less. They should not have enough power to be able to do what they want to do. The Rifle Association or whatever they call themselves, I don't even want to give them all the credit because there's no credit due to them at all. When people are walking in these schools and shooting innocent little kids, what can a six-year-old do to defend themselves against an armed assailant with a semi-automatic assault weapon that you would use on a military fighting battling field? You're going into a school where people are unarmed, harmless, and can't defend themselves against full metal jackets. So this story is going somewhere this morning. And I want you to let that sink into the resonance of your heart and mind, the complex difficulty of getting some bills passed about getting assault weapons off of our streets. If there were not assault weapons on our streets, there would be more human beings that would be living right now. But between Sandy Hook and all the other schools that we could go over and over and over and name, I can't even name to you all the innocent kids and teachers that have been, and faculty members that have been killed by sick assailants with semi-automatic assault weapons. It's uncanny. It's upsetting. It's disturbing. And we, the people, will do something about it. We will do something about it. We will not quit, as was stated by a legislator. And we're going to get to that legislator in just a minute. I wanted to bring this to your attention for a reason. Now, you can look up the shooting in Nashville, Tennessee, where Audrey went in there and she shot the doors out. She didn't try to break in. She just shot the locked doors out. And walked up under the glass after she broke it all out and went down the hallway shooting up and going to classrooms. So she knew who her targets were. And she was on a mission to kill as many human beings as she could, along with her mental disability. So with that being said, I want to bring in my daughter, Talana Jones, co-producer of the show. Good morning, Talana. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Daddy. Good morning to everyone. So shout out to Avera, and good morning, Cousin D. Good morning, Clarence. Good morning, Professor Reigns. I just want to say God bless everybody under all the weirdom and the circumstances that we've been going through. God is still on the throne, so I just want to say thank you, Lord, for happy birthday, Father God, in Jesus' name, for yesterday and everybody. I pray everyone's Resurrection Day was a blessing. So good morning, good morning.
Amen. Good morning, good morning. Welcome, 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 welcome. Now let's get in, without further ado, don't go anywhere. I want to get in Professor Reams. Good morning, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning, Professor Reams?
Good morning, Pastor Jones. I'm doing well. Today's a blessed day, as it always is. Good morning, Talana, and looking forward to Words of Wisdom. And then good morning to the listeners to coming to the best Blog Talk radio program on Mondays, which reminds us of our rights and what we can do and how, through God, we can make changes to the issues that are facing not only our community, but this state, but also the nation as well. So good morning, good morning, good morning.
All right. Good morning, Professor Reams. Talana, say good morning, Professor Reams. And without
good
further
morning,
ado,
Lester,
we're going to
go.
Good morning, Talana. I'm doing fine.
And without further ado, let's bring in Clarence and Malin. Good morning, Clarence and Malin. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Clarence. Good morning, Professor Reed. Good morning to Lana Jones. Good morning, Pastor Eddie. Good morning to all the other panelists that are coming in. Good morning to all our wonderful listeners around the world, throughout the state and nation. Pastor Eddie, man, you're hitting the hot button topics because this is America.
Right. Okay. Without further ado, I want to bring in none other than Aretha Adams Jones, affectionately known on our show as Dr. Aretha Adams Jones. Good morning, Aretha. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Eddie. I am well. Thank you very much for asking. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a beautiful day in our neighborhood. Everyone, please say good morning to Aretha Adams Jones.
Dr.
Good
Aretha.
Morning, Dr.
Good
Aretha.
Morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy
Aretha.
Monday. How are you guys doing?
Now, Aretha, and we're all doing fine, and I'm glad we have everybody on. Vera will not be with us today. She's on Facebook Live, but she'll be back with us next week. So everybody right now, say good morning to Vera and Cousin V. They're both online. Everybody say good morning to them.
Good morning, Vera and Cousin V. Happy Monday.
Good morning,
good
Vera
morning,
and
Vera,
Cousin,
Cousin V.
V.
Morning, Happy Cousin Monday.
V. Love you guys.
Now, for those who know, happy resurrection. Yesterday, he rose again and fulfillment of the scriptures. But we're talking about something that's very, and we're going somewhere with this morning. Matter of fact, let me give you one of our topics. I'll give you the second topic first, and then I'll give you the first topic. Our second topic is, does the black vote even matter? Does the black vote even matter? That's our second topic. Our first topic is Representative Justin Jones, Representative Justin J. Pearson, and Representative Gloria Johnson called the Tennessee Three. The Republicans GOP voted to expel Representative Justin Jones and Representative Justin J. Pearson, but did not expel Representative Gloria Johnson. Political Racism 2023. Now, Representative Justin Jones and Justin J. Pearson and Gloria Johnson, who is a female white woman, who is also a representative in Tennessee, these are the representative of the state of Tennessee. And so we'll get back to that later. Let's go back to Audrey shooting up the school in Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm going to get some opinions in just a second. And don't forget, we have a segment on our show called A Moment to Shine. And our Moment to Shine guest today will be Bishop Taylor. And he will. We're going to shine on his organization called Save RC. Now, all this is tied together. We wanted Bishop on for a reason, to save our seed, because each one of those kids in those schools that are shot up and killed, those are our seeds. Yeah, let that sink into the resonance of your heart and mind. They have a civil right to live, a constitutional right to live, a human right to live, your right to live, my right to live, and our right to live. But when you take human beings who have mental disabilities, and this is why we're going to go to Aretha Adams Jones in a little bit, to try to break this down so we can get an understanding. This young lady, Audrey, who had a mental disability, was able to go into the gun store not once, not twice, not three times, but several times and buy several assault weapons. She had a manifesto. She had a plan. She was going there to kill more kids at the school. Fortunately, the police were able to get there and go in, not like that other shooting where the police stood outside and they were scared to go in and get the shooter. And the shooter ended up killing more kids and more teachers. This time, the police did what they were supposed to do because their job is to serve and to protect. They went into the school, and unfortunately, they had to annihilate her. She was not going to stop. She was on a mission to steal away human life. Now, this is a civil rights talk show. we have a right to pass a bill that stops people from buying assault weapons. Let me give you a bill that I think that should be passed. Everyone that goes in to buy a weapon, period, should get a background check on their mental disabilities to find out if they have any mental disabilities. Yes, it's an OSHA thing. Yes, it's a medical records thing. So what? If you're going in there to buy a weapon, we need to find out if you have a mental disability. If you got paranoid schizophrenia, bipolar syndrome, or any other mental disability before you get an assault weapon in your hands to use to steal away human lives that have no defense whatsoever. What does a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, an 11-year-old, a 15-year-old, what type of defense do they have if they're just at school to get an education besides their books and a desk to get behind because they're afraid? This should never happen. It should never happen. Our schools should be overly armed with metal detectors and anything else that they need to make sure that there is no threat to a child or a faculty member or a teacher that is trying to educate the kids to build them for a better future for tomorrow. And with that being said, I want to go right now to Aretha Adams Jones. Aretha, this young lady, Audrey, had a mental disability. I don't know what was on her mind. Can you kind of break it down into layman terms why she was able to go and buy a weapon and there's no background check on her or nothing? Just from your standpoint, because you work, I mean, we want to break the stigma on mental illness, but at the same time, we want to make sure that people who have mental illness are not able to get weapons, especially assault weapons. I'd like to get your opinion. Go right ahead. Take the floor.
Good morning again, Pastor Eddie, and to all that are here. I praise God from whom all blessings flow. With regard to the young lady, you said Audrey, right? Her name was Audrey. Yeah. So anyway, I'm not sure. Okay, Audrey. I'm not sure what mental illness she was diagnosed with, but I remember when I first went to work for the Department of Mental Health, and I know that Audrey was not on a conservatorship, but when you're on a conservatorship, there are certain rights that are taken away from you. And because of the severity of the mental illness, and one is, you know, the right to bear arms, that is taken away. And I know people, you know, I know in the Constitution there, you know, rights that people are allowed, they have certain rights. But when you're mentally ill, I do believe that someone should, I mean, I think a background check should be done on people that that want to purchase guns. I do honestly believe for this reason, you know, not a background check and a mental status report or a mental status examination. But I want to let you know that even though people are mentally ill, some of them know how to exam. They know the right words to say. They know buzzwords to say. But in the whole scheme of things, I do believe that some type of mental background clearance should be given, and you know, should be they should be assessed. I should say they should be assessed. There should be some kind of assessment. And if you look at the history of these killings, you know, when people go onto the campus, these campuses, and they start shooting up people, a lot of times they have some mental instability going on. And so I that would be great to have that to be, you know, a mental assessment, a mental health assessment done before they can purchase a rifle. It's so important. It's so important to know a person's mental status before they purchase something, you know, like a weapon. And that just shows you that mental health matters. Thank you so much for letting me share. Well, God bless you all.
Thank you, Aretha Adams-Jones. Thank you so much for sharing that. I want to go really quick, and right after this, Yes, yes, yes. Thank you very much. Right after this, we're going to go to a moment to shine, but I have to talk about this morning because this is going to lead into our first topic. So we're talking about assault weapons do not need to be on the street, and that people with mental disabilities, when they go in to buy a weapon, period, there should be a mental health background check. That's what I'm going to call it. And we're going to write the bill. I'm going to talk to Professor Reams to see if we can write the bill. We're not going to see if we can. We're going to write the bill. We're going to write a bill for background checks for mental health, and we're going to get that. We're going to work on getting that into – that really needs to be in the Supreme Court. And we'll talk about that later. But right now, let's just write the get the bill written. And with that being said, let me go to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, I just want to get your opinion. Audrey walks into the school with several assault weapons, kills three kids, kills three faculty members and teachers, and finally she had to be shot down because she wasn't stopping. What do you think should be done for people? Can we write a bill, and can we get that bill to Washington, D.C., to the Supreme Court level to get that bill? Because in Congress, they're just acting up right now. Go right ahead, Professor Reams. Take the floor.
Well, here's the situation. Now, first of all, let's see, show the dynamics of who is benefiting from the National Rifle Association. It is the Republican Party that receives full donations and support from the National Rifle Association, probably $50 to $100 million. So their focus is to squelch any sort of legislation that's going to keep that power away. Number two, we do have, in California, we have the strongest and most restrictive gun laws in the nation. We have what is called a red flag law, which allows law enforcement to confiscate weapons by getting a court order when a person is seen or deemed as being both harmful to themselves and to other people. And so successively, we have stopped 58 threats of mass shootings in California alone with our red flag laws. Colorado also had red flag laws, but they chose not to follow them because the police officers felt it was infringement on the Second Amendment, which is, of course, sort of supporting the Republican Party. So in that sense, so let's move to Tennessee because I have a family in Memphis, Tennessee, of which one of Justin Bank Jones is part of, and then Justin Pearson is part of Nashville. Tennessee does not have a red flag law. As a matter of fact, Smith & Wesson is building its headquarters there, and it has reduced any sort of legislation that gets to them is being blocked. It is also the situation where they have reduced the age carrying for a gun from 21 to 18 from lobbyists. So had there been a red flag law just like California, and this could have been, the signs could have been seen earlier, Audrey would have been detained and or stopped, and her weapons, since they were in her home, would have been taken away temporarily, which would have saved lives like in California. So to answer your third question, mm-hmm. Can a bill be made? Yes, we would have to work with – the problem is that we'd have to start with our own California representative, and it could be any one of them. But once it gets to Congress, it'll have full support from the Democrats because they also tried to pass a assault weapons ban last year or in 2021, and it was stopped
mm-hmm.
by the Senate,
yes.
by the Republicans, and they wouldn't take up the bill. The other thing that is being cited is that California's existing restrictive laws are being questioned because now Republicans are going to Judge Benitez, who will say from a federal side that your law is unconstitutional, which means that when that is said, we'd have to appeal it. And then if it goes on appeal and is supported, the gun lobbyists will then try to take it to the Supreme Court. And unfortunately, it is the Supreme Court that has opened up all the gun laws and is enforcing the Second Amendment. So even if we get one through, it's going to be overturned by the Supreme Court, which means that we'd have to create a bill where it was Supreme Court proof. But if it is appealed on a national level and it is stopped, no different than Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court will block it. That's where we are. We are in a major standstill. That's why it's important that at least to get the law done, the Congress can control some of the things that the Supreme Court is going to see and make sure that this is not going to be blocked with a new law. So our thing is, open up the new law if we get 52 in majority so that Joe Manchin can't vote it back. The existing law, which would have fixed all this across the nation, could be voted in, and we wouldn't see as much because here's the thing. Back in 1994, we had a weapons assault bill which restricted manufacturing and selling of these weapons from 1994 to 2004. Unfortunately, when the Democrats lost in the 2004 election, the Congress allowed it to lapse and it got rid of it. And so that's why Joe Biden was campaigning on bringing it back because this act prohibits the manufacture, transfer, or possession of semi-automatic assault weapons. And those were back in 2004. And the number of mass shootings was very low from 1994 to 2004. After 2004, you then started seeing an uptick until it's to the present level today. So, yes, we could, but we have so many forces that would try to block it or to delay it or to stop it, and then it being deemed unconstitutional by some of the scholars. We may not see that law even come to light at all because of the fight that's going on. So that's why when we get to the second question, does voting matter? Oh, yes, it does. Because if we can vote in the folks in the federal level with the Congress and then have them to expand the court to do whatever it needs to do, then they can't use the Supreme Court. They can't use these federal judges because the federal judges that they're using are only going by the ruling that the Supreme Court gave to them, which would say that anything that we do which affects the Second Amendment is unconstitutional. So
wow.
This is what I call a cold civil war where we are fighting over policies that they're trying to take away, like rights that we've earned. They're trying to take them back state by state by state. So when you have, I call them the Justins together, that shows that the people voted well to bring the people who are going to represent them, as opposed to the majority of the supermajority in Tennessee, which represents the NRA. So that's why I say, get ready, get set. This is going to be a fight for the soul every time we have an election. So, people, your vote has made the difference. We wouldn't be talking reparations. We wouldn't be talking about at least this being an issue or having a way or showing that a red flag law has worked because we voted well here in California. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones. I don't want to take up more about the second question.
Well, that's amazing. Let's give Professor Reams, our real professor, a big hand. Let's come on, clap really loud and hard. Because this information, you're not going to get this on the news, okay? You guys, you could turn to channel 2, 4, 7, 9, 11, and 13, and even CNN. You're not going to get what you're getting on this civil rights talk show anywhere. There are no smoking guns. It's the real deal Holyfield, okay? It's the real deal Holyfield. I want to go back to Aretha, who wants to share some more information pertaining to our subject matter and topic. Just right now we're talking about Nashville, Tennessee, where Audrey, the young lady with mental health, got several assault weapons, went into a school, killed three kids and three adults, three faculty members and a teacher. Go right ahead, Aretha. Take the floor. What do you want to share with us this morning?
Thank you so much, Pastor Eddie. I just want to jump back in quickly and say that not all people that are mentally ill are dangerous and violent and unpredictable. So I just want to throw that in there. There are a lot of people that are mentally ill, but they're in treatment. They're on medications, and they are okay, you know. So I don't want anyone to leave thinking that, you know, I'm saying that all people that are mentally ill should not have the right to bear arms. But the people, normally when that right is taken away, like in the case of a conservatorship, the right is taken away because that person is unwilling voluntary treatment. and they have been, deemed by the court to be a danger to him or herself. So people that go up and shoot schools, a lot of them, I don't know about all, but, you know, I think the vast majority of those individuals, they were diagnosed with a mental illness and they were out of treatment. So that's the difference. Yeah. Not all mentally ill people are dangerous. I just wanted to say that. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
That's a wonderful point that was just made by Aretha Adams Jones. I want to go to Talana Jones. Talana, take the floor. What do you feel about what Audrey did? What do you feel that should have happened to stop Audrey from doing that? Go right ahead, Talana.
Well, I mean, I really want to say this. I just heard Dr. Aretha say that she had services before that incident occurred. The powers that be also understand mental health on all in all ethnicities, nationalities, whatever the case may be. So when you disenroll someone and you take them away from the services that they had, even if they're not able to comply, it's disrespectful. Mm-hmm. It's a disservice to the person who is trying to heal. And even if, I would also say this to go to an extent, if they stop wanting to comply, that's where the government is supposed to actually step in and give assistance and or support. But we lack that right now. So that's why it's been so much of a stigma to maintain or even be able to get someone to understand that, like, she could have had, like, delusions, possible hallucinations, was hearing voices, something telling her in her head, go do this. And no help, no medication, no treatment, no support from her family. So there's a lot that goes along with that. I don't condone murder. I feel like that's disrespectful also, going premeditated or not. So you live by the gun, you die by it. So we all have to learn from our mistakes, absolutely, but I feel like it's on both ends, not just one.
I agree with you, and thank you very much, Talana, for your opinion. We're talking about – thank you, Talana. And you know, I want to send a shout-out to anybody who does have a mental disability or is dealing with a mental disability or that knows someone with a mental disability. I was on Aretha's show Thursday night, and I shared about my grandson. And I love my grandson, and I love my niece, and I love other people that I know that have mental disabilities. And I'm not saying that anybody who has a mental disability should not be able to get a weapon. It depends on what level. Like it was said to us a while ago, if they have a conservatorship and they're mm-hmm. hearing voices and they're talking right. to themselves, and, you know, that's completely different. But for someone who is functional and taking their medications and doing what they're supposed to do and all that, yes, by all means, get out and enjoy your life and do the things you want to do. However, this thing about assault weapons has gotten out of control and it's gotten into the wrong hands. And we have seen time after time innocent children who have been shot down, innocent children who have been killed, innocent faculty members, teachers, and even parents who tried to go in and stop these shooters. And you can't stop a person with a gun, especially an assault weapon, because all you have to do is hold the trigger and it's going to continue to fire. And it can hold a large amount of rounds. So they don't have to stop and keep reloading. And when you shoot a bullet, it goes through glass and classrooms and tables and who knows what else. It's just, what happened was terrible. So this story is going somewhere. I want to go to Clarence and Mallon, and then we're going to close this out, and then we're going to do a moment to shine with Bishop Taylor, and then we're going to go into our first topic. And our first topic, let us sing it to the residents of your heart and mind. Our first topic, Representative Justin Jones, Representative Justin J. Pearson, and Representative Gloria Johnson called the Tennessee Three. The Republican GOP voted to expel Representative Justin Jones and Representative Justin J. Pearson, but did not expel Representative Gloria Johnson, who was white. And I called, and it says political racism 2023. Now, we got the elections coming up really quick, and we're dealing with this kind of racism. We'll talk about that, and we'll find out what the two youngest representatives in the Congress were talking about. They are two young men who are making a difference in Tennessee. And now Tennessee and those particular areas that they represent do not have a representative because they have been expelled. On Facebook Live, Maurice Ballantyne, a.k.a. Bully the Bull, said, put down the guns. Put down the guns campaign is coming soon, Bully and Friends. And that includes me, too, along with Bully, because I'm with it. Good morning, Sheila Robinson Timberlake. Good morning. Welcome to the show. So right now I want to go to Clarence M. Allen, and I want to get his opinion on this girl, Audrey, who went into the school, shot up the kids, shot up the teachers, shot up the school, and had to be annihilated by police officers because she just wasn't going to stop. Go right ahead, Clarence. Take the floor. How do you feel about that?
Yes. First, let me just thank all the panelists, even you, Pastor Ed, to commend all of y'all because everybody has hit all the bullet points, and, you know, there's just so many factors. Why? It could be because the color of the skin, you know, and in this case, we could be looking at white privilege. The parents knew she had at least one gun. Well, if they knew that she had one gun, why they didn't know about the other six? And she took three. You know, this was premeditated. Just this morning, right next door, there's another bank shooting, four dead and another so many wounded. Sympathies to all those families who are affected, you know, and the birth of this nation. It comes from gun violence, you know, and killing, taking people, bringing forced labor. So the spirit of this nation, and then, you know, when you go back to Professor Rings, when we look at this Second Amendment and these gun makers, there are people that have bunkers with thousands of guns and millions of rounds of ammunition that we don't know nothing about. You think they're going to allow somebody to come on their land and take their weapons away, regardless what type of weapon it is, Pastor Eddie, you know? And then when it comes to this mental illness issue, I believe that all of us all wrestle certain life situations daily, but will we allow that to affect our mental capacity to be penetrated and think ill will? And no, there are so many beautiful people that's around here that, you know, that enjoys life, that preach the life of love and life and all of this. So when we look at this white privilege thing, you know, And I said it once on this station, that we as people of color, when we look at equality and our freedom, it's a whole different outlook on some who are European descent. Some of those who are white, their freedom is different. Their freedom is do what I want to do, how I want to do it, when I want to do it, where I want to do it, with no consequences. Ours is just to stop the oppression, stop the discrimination. Let us have an equal opportunity to the success in this nation. And so, Pastor Eddie, you know, this subject is also connected to the other two topics. These two young men that were expelled along with the other lady who was put up to the vote. All this is about this gun thing, these assault weapons and all that. So, Pastor Eddie, I just have to commend you again for another hot subject matter. And last but not least, I want to say this to all of our listeners. Pastor Eddie, when he brings these hot-button topics, pay attention that people are watching that we know nothing about, because a few days later, other media organizations begin to talk about these subject matters. So I just commend you on this, Pastor Eddie.
Thank you so very much, Brother Clarence. Let's give Brother Clarence a hand for sharing that with us. Just give him a big hand because, you know, it
I'm
takes
a regulator.
I just want to thank also Aretha Adams Jones, who works as a mental health professional and also a marriage counselor. I mean, I want to thank you, Gwen Bryant. Welcome to the show, Gwen Bryant. You know, and Edie said, blessings to everyone. You know, Thursday, her show was about, should people with mental health be put in prison or be put into a mental institution? No, they shouldn't be put in a prison because they're not going to get better in a prison. They should be put in a mental institution, you know, where they can get the help they need and still be in a form of incarceration, but not behind bars, but, you know, in a room where they can't get out and go around and do whatever they want to do to hurt somebody, or until they can get rehabilitated, revitalized, rejuvenated, and restored. So, no, they shouldn't be in prison. Yes, they should get mental health. I don't know if you guys remember John Hinckley, who shot President Reagan, who had a mental disability, and he went to jail, but then they moved into a mental facility, and now he's free. He's at home, okay? So sometimes people just need some help. So this topic right here is deeper than the ocean, higher than the mountain, and swifter than the rivers. We're not just talking about this, though. We're going to be about this. We are going to reach out to Representative Justin P. Pearson of Tennessee. We're also going to reach out to Justin Jones, the representative of Tennessee. And, of course, we got to reach out to Gloria because they're calling them the Tennessee Three. The only thing is they were black and the youngest representatives to ever represent in Congress history. So look in there and see how young they are. And they're very intelligent, intellectual brothers who are talking about righteousness. But every time they get into Congress, they don't call on them. They won't let them speak. They keep ignoring them. And this is, you know, redundantly ridiculous in 2023 that we're still dealing with some biasness and racism in the government, okay? And it's not everybody that has ever worked in government, including whoever that are African-American, will tell you that they've had to deal with racism coming from the GOP. And the GOP is not going to tell you that they're racist. They're going to show you that they're racist. And this is why we need to vote. And we're going to talk about that later. But right now, let's go into our topic. But before we do that, it is time for a moment to shine on our show. A moment to shine. And a moment to shine is when we call somebody on the phone, we get them in on the show, and we let them shine on whatever they're doing. Last week we had a young lady we had a young lady last week, which was had her own hair salon in Texas, and she was doing really well. We had her on the show. I don't have her information in front of me, but she was so good, and we really enjoyed having her on the show. This week, we're going to have a young lady. We had Jasmine Taylor on our show last week at Jay's Beauty Bar at 5838 Cloetta Road in Suite 61 Spring, Texas. And we gave her a moment to shine, Jasmine Taylor, which was Jay's Beauty Bar. This week we're going to have, hey, what's up, Bobby Thompson? How are you? God bless you, man. Welcome to the show. Good morning. Let's see what on Facebook Live. Everybody on Facebook Live, please tag 10 people to our show right now because we're about to get deeper than the ocean, higher than the mountain, and swifter than the rivers on our next topic. Our next topic is Representative Justin Jones, Representative Justin J. Pearson, they're both African-American, and Representative Gloria Johnson, she's white, called the Tennessee Three. They're called the Tennessee Three. The Republican GOP voted to expel Representative Justin Jones and Representative Justin Pearson, but did not expel Representative Gloria Johnson. Is this political racism in 2023? Now, let me tell you why. Let me just share this with you really quick. Let me show you this picture here. You see that picture right there? That right here, that's Justin Jones, Representative Justin Jones, and next to him with his hand around him, that's Justin J. Pearson right there. So now let me read this to you real quick. Chairman Representative Sam McKenzie, a Democrat from Knoxville, told reporters Friday, "I don't have to say a word about the fact that our two young African-American brothers were unfairly prosecuted. They were prosecuted in Congress. I mean, the rooms were jam-packed, and they were fighting against assault weapons on our streets because that happened in Tennessee. That young lady, Audrey, was in Nashville, Tennessee. That's why I'm looking this up to the story to let you know the real deal, Holyfield, why the political right-wing GOP was being biased and racist towards the two African-American representatives who was representing the state of Tennessee. GOP legislators voted Thursday to expel Jones, along with Justin J. Pearson, who are black, over their protests on the chamber floor, arguing that they broke the rules of the chamber. A vote to expel a third Democrat, Representative Gloria Johnson, who was white, fell short. So she wasn't expelled, even though she's part of the Tennessee representatives with Jones and Justin Pearson. The three legislators, dubbed the Tennessee Three, had led supporters in calling for a stricter gun safety measure after a mass shooting in the state killed three children and three adults. Good morning, Gloria Major. Welcome to Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Glenn Yost, welcome to the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Please tag 10 more people and get them in on the show. It's such an honor and a pleasure that you guys are live with us right now. This is redundantly ridiculous. And I'm just telling you, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And happy resurrection to you as well. God bless you. This is redundantly ridiculous, and we're going to talk about this because this is one of the reasons why I don't need to run for office, because I can do more out of office than I can do in office. Yeah, I can get a lot done in office, but I want to be grassroots. I'm Congress already, okay? I'm city council already, okay? I'm a representative already. I'm representing our civil rights, our constitutional rights, our human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. So we just did a press conference on Friday. It don't stop. We don't need them to tell us how to do what we already know how to do. This is why they're so intimidated by us, because we already know how to do what they know that we know how to do. And this is why they don't want black history out there. This is why they don't want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because they've been nothing but a lie to America. They have lied and deceived America since day one. They have lied to us in so many different ways. Still haven't got our 40 acres and a mule yet, but you've been promised that you would get your freedom. What type of freedom do you give a person who came over here and built America to make it what it is today? Do you know that America would not even exist without African Americans? Do you know that the best doctors in the world are black brain surgeon, black heart surgeon, black? Do you know that the best athletes in the world are African American? Do you know that some of the most richest people in the world are African American? Okay? They don't want you to know how many rich black people they are. They don't want you to know how many rich people are working in Congress right now, black African Americans working in Congress, making changes. They want to do everything they can to deceive us, to put us down, and to make us feel like we're not worthy. But we are worthy because God has ordained each and every one of us with a mission to do. There's no time for us to be sitting around going, woe's me, twiddling our thumbs, when we all have a mission that we all need to be doing. And if we all work together, strength in numbers make the difference. We are strength in numbers, and we can, and we will, and we will not, as Representative Justin J. Pearson said, we will not quit. We will not quit. We will keep pushing forward. We will keep protesting. We will keep writing legislation. We will keep writing bills, and eventually those bills will get passed, because it's going to be out with the old and in with the new. And those type of people don't live forever. Eventually they will die off, and their dreams will die off. But our dream, as Dr. King said, is still alive. And we make our dreams come true by putting these things into action and taking action on the things that we want to see change. Now, who am I talking to? If you're listening to me over there, let me tell you something. People listen to this show around the world, okay? People are listening to the show in China right now. People are listening to the show in Russia right now. People are listening to the show in Dubai, in Africa, in Egypt. They're listening to the show right now in Canada, in Germany. They're listening to the show. So trust me, they're listening for a reason. The FBI is listening. The DEA, the ATF, the government is listening, because we're talking about the government. And it's a civil rights talk show. So anything that's going on with civil rights, you better believe, with all the technology that they have today, they are paying close attention, and they know that their time is short. So don't buy into all the stuff that we're going back in time. No, we're not. We're going forward, okay? Don't buy into the stuff about, oh, yeah, white man this and the white man that. No, no. Nobody controls our destiny but us. We control our own destiny. We can't let them steal our joy. We have to continue to be assertive, aggressive, and mature, and intellectual, and intelligent, and wise in our decisions to move forward. And you don't tell nobody how you're moving forward unless they're on your team. And then you got to double check and make sure they're really on your team, because you don't want to be getting your plan already, and then you got a house person that's in there just so they can steal your information and take it to the enemy. Okay, so if you come up with a plan, make sure your plan is foolproof, and make sure your plan is ready to be put into action. And the more you plan, the better your actions turn out. So get your plan ready, because you're going to have a plan in order to sustain the future of what's going on in politics. And that's what leads us to our next subject matter, which will be part two. But before we go to that, let's go to a moment to shine. Hold your thoughts, because I'm about to come right back to you. But right now we're going to do a moment to shine with Bishop Taylor. Let me get Bishop Taylor on the phone here. Bishop Taylor, good morning. Brother. Bishop Taylor, are you there?
Yes, I am, Brother Bishop Eddie.
Yes, everybody, please say good morning. Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. Everyone, please say good morning to Bishop Taylor.
Bishop Taylor, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to each of you. Good morning to each of you. God bless each of you.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Taylor. Bishop Taylor, we brought you on a moment to shine because we want to shine on your organization called Save Our Seed. Now, I know you heard about the shooting that took place in Nashville, Tennessee, and somewhere this morning there was another mass shooting in Kentucky just this morning with assault weapons. So we were talking about getting assault weapons, banning assault weapons like Representative Justin Jones, and Representative Gloria was talking about doing the Tennessee Three, was speaking out in Congress when the two black representatives were expelled. Go ahead, take the floor on a moment to shine. Tell us about Save Our Seed. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. And I would like to say good morning to each of you. And I want to first thank you for the opportunity to have this moment to shine. I want to thank you for 2 weeks ago. I was in Texas and with my daughter, and you gave her the opportunity to have a moment to shine, and we certainly thank you for that. And I want to wish each and every one of you a continuous happy resurrection week. Amen. Thank you so much. Save Our Seed Family Network Apostolic International Christian Fellowship is a ministry that God gave me many years ago, but we reacted it after I had retired from preaching in 2017. God spoke to me early in the morning and told us to establish an international Save Our Seed Christian Fellowship. Amen. And it's based on the Word of God. Amen. Habakkuk 2:3-4. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision down, make it plain upon tablets that he may run and read it. That readeth it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but if at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. And it has done that. You know, God has given us, just like he gave you the vision for the civil rights radio show and plan, he gave us the vision to save our seeds. What he said, start with your own family, your wife, your sons, your daughters, and anyone in your family that will see the vision and want to run with it. Your members, the ministers, the pastors, the bishops, the overseers, the deacons, the evangelists, the missionaries, the mothers, the lay people who want to serve in this fellowship. And we have that. He has given us that. Many of them are on your line this morning, Sister Bobby Thompson, Dr. Adams, Evangelist Malone, and all of us. These are people a part of Save Our Seed Family Network. The vision of Save Our Seed is we are not based on Christian denomination. Our fellowship is focused on Christian unity. We seek to offer all Christians the best of Christian fellowship, which is structured with doctrinal standing of God's holy order. We believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in the Holy Communion. We believe in the Old and the New Testament in its entirety. Save Our Seed is standing on the shoulders of men and women who stood in the sanctuaries of our Lord's churches preaching the gospel. Amen. I have four mentors that I'm standing on their shoulder. Amen. Pastor James Jewell, who's going on to heaven. Amen. Bishop John Morris, who consecrated me as a bishop. Pastor Lonnie Dawson of the Newmont Calvary Baptist Church here in Los Angeles that's gone on to glory. And I have one living mentor, Pastor Luther B. Keith of Central Baptist Church of Inglewood, who is my mentor. These are all of my mentors. I'm standing on their shoulders. And my desire is to prepare men and women. We have the segment, our early morning prayer ministry, which is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. and on Saturday and Sundays at 7 a.m. We have the Women of the Word, which my wife is the director of. Barbara Hart in North Carolina is her co-director. And then we have the Glad Dads, the men's, the mentoring village, which Minister Malone and I will be going to Chicago Friday to establish a Save Our Seed Glad Dad ministry there in Chicago. So we're doing a lot of great things. Our purpose, my main purpose, is to work with men, building up fathers, husbands, papa spirits, proteges, you know, getting men to take their rightful place as men, as husbands, as fathers, as big brothers, as uncles, whoever. Amen. Our theme for this week will be fathering the fatherless. The fatherless. Our theme scripture is going to be taken from Psalm 68, 5 and 6. That fathers of the fatherless and protectors of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in the home, and he led out the prisoners to prosperity. So we have an obligation to Eddie, as you are already doing. You're a father, you're a leader, you're a progenitor, you're a provider, not only for your family, but for the nation. For the nation, it's our responsibility as fathers to father anyone that's around us, whether they are our biological sons or not. Amen. Many of us did not have a biological father, but we have the responsibility of being a father to other fathers. So that's basically where we are. We are men of character. We are men of devoted service. We're dedicated. We are amazing dads and fathers and husbands, and we're doing the work that God sent us to do. Thank you.
Now, Bishop Taylor, could you please give out the phone number to Save Our Seed and any other information so people can listen to your line in the morning? How to give out that information, please?
Well, yes, my personal number, if anybody want to contact me, and you can contact me at 310-486-8062. It's on the stream. And the conference line that we are on 7 days a week, in the morning at 6 a.m., 978 And I'll ask Dr. Adams or someone to put that on the line, 978-990-5000. And our access code is 691-243-POUND. We're on every day, and then we're on Monday evening with the men at 6 o'clock, the Glad Dad, and on Saturday with the women of the word. My wife is the director there from that same line, Saturdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. These times are Pacific Standard Time. And then there's other special times that we come on other people's broadcasts as well, like Your Mind, Yours, and Dr. Adams and others that we ask to be on. But our mission, we're on a mission. I'm on a mission, amen, to do God's will, amen, in this season while we are yet alive.
With that being said, can everybody give a hand for A Moment to Shine with Bishop Taylor? Let's give him a big hand. Let's give a big hand to Taylor.
All right, Bishop.
Bishop Taylor.
All right, Bishop.
Thank you all. Thank you all so much. I love all every one of you. I love every one of you. And I'm standing with all of you. We are better together, bridging the gap, breaking down walls, making peace with our past.
Amen. Bishop Taylor, don't go anywhere. Stay on the show, Bishop Taylor. Don't go nowhere. We're going to come back to you in just a minute. That was Bishop Taylor on A Moment to Shine. And we do that every Monday. We give someone a moment to shine on our show because everybody deserves to shine, especially if you have a black-owned business or a black organization that's helping people. And, you know, this is what it's all about. We have to uplift one another. We have to uplift each other. And we have to uplift other people. And we need to hear about all the different things that are going on. Come out of our shell and open up our hearts and our mind and let God use us for his kingdom building. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. With that being said, we're going into our topic right now. Representative Justin Jones, Representative Justin Pearson, and Representative Gloria Johnson, who are called the Tennessee Three, who was just in Congress just fighting, you know, for a bill to stop assault weapons. That's all. That's it. Yet they said that the GOP Republicans said that they were being unruly and they expelled them from their positions. Not suspended them, expelled them indefinitely. They took away their representation of a certain district of Tennessee. And now the people don't have a representative to represent them in certain parts of Tennessee to fight. And all the people from Tennessee were there in Congress. They all must have came on buses and went down there, and they were in Congress where they were all speaking. And it's so sad that we are dealing with racism in the government. It's unfortunate. People can't just accept people for who they are. Just because they're intellectual, intelligent, wise young men who know how to speak and know what to fight for, and the National Rifle Association, they don't want to hear banning assault weapons. They want assault weapons on the street. They want to see assault weapons in the wrong hands of the wrong type of people who can go around and do the wrong kind of stealing of human lives. And that's redundantly ridiculous, and it's absurd. And I know we have our amendment right to bear arms, but there needs to be some stipulations to the Constitution on who has the right to have assault weapons. And if you have a mental disability, whoever you are when you go to buy a gun, especially an assault weapon, a background check on your mental health should be done too. And we're going to need to write that bill, and we're going to need to put that bill into effect to go along with the bill to stop assault weapons. Because assault weapons have done nothing but steal away human lives. Now, if you take an assault weapon and you put it in the middle of your living room floor and you don't touch it for 5 years, it's not going to shoot anybody for 5 years. But the moment you pick it up and put it in somebody's hand, that's when, you know, people playing God while they have a weapon. They think they're God because they have a gun, an assault weapon. They're not God. That's the devil. Okay? So with that being said, I want to go to our professor, Professor Reams. Professor Reams, our real professor, take the floor. Professor Reams, why did they expel Justin Jones? Why did they expel Representative Justin Pearson? And why didn't they expel Gloria Johnson? Why didn't they? Why didn't they?
Well, thank you, Pastor Jones. One thing that we have to come back to is that, first of all, Tennessee has a super Republican majority. And because it has that super majority, like in many of the states, it's many of those lawmakers are not fearful of being challenged by Democratic or opposition of any type. Therefore, like absolute power corrupts absolutely, you have this same situation that crops up. So in this legislature, the total number is 95. And if you look at the numbers of votes, the way that you would stop being expelled is if you reach 66, because you need two-thirds of the vote to be able to expel someone. Well, Justin Jones and Justin Pearson, they received below that. I think that the number is like 26, 25 for one of them, and then 26, which is below. Whereas with Gloria Johnson, who is part of the Tennessee 3, the Caucasian lady, white lady, she received 30 votes, which meant that she was just one vote shy of being expelled. Had she received 29 votes, then she would have been expelled as well. So you're now dealing with people and their personalities, and that one person decided not to vote her out just by one vote, whereas the others didn't reach the 30 threshold, and so there's a difference of either 5 or 4 votes or whatever it is. But like we've mentioned before, we're dealing with, you know, spiritual warfare here, where the folks here are based their votes on power and, again, superiority overall. And what has been shared is that the only time in history they've expelled someone is if they had committed an actual crime. Having a disruption in a chamber is not one of those. But since you're dealing with folks of their own arrogance and spiritual warfare, they feel that they can bend the rules and move from tradition. That's why it is important that when in these states, they have to be clearly stated what constitutes an action that will result in expulsion. If that's not there, then it's open to anybody's interpretation. The only thing that which I would surmise was in there that you have to have 66% or two-thirds of the vote that would result in the person being exposed. And Ms. Johnson missed it by just one vote. So that was the reason, because they could, because they were also compromised by the gun lobby. And as I mentioned, Smith & Wesson is building its headquarters in Tennessee. So as you brilliantly opened up, they don't want to hear anything. And in many of the red states, this is what authoritarian looks like, where the people just have the leaders tell the people what to do, and that's it. And if you act up, then you will be vilified, because we don't want you to have anything except what we tell you you should have. And, of course, my colleagues have said, well, they made a big mistake. Because now, let's think how God did this, the blessing. You have three people, two black, one white, and, you know, they're probably going to ignore the white person, but they're going to pay attention to, ignore the black politician, but to see that the white person was also involved in this, this is a big thing, because the fact that now they're seeing just how racist their state legislators really are, even though they've been told things here and there. Now, there's always been things. Look, you have safe areas, blue areas, like in Nashville, and you have in Memphis, because that's where the Justins are coming from, those areas. But in those rural areas that are out there, then besides those two areas, you still have the old guard that's still fighting the Civil War, that love their power, that want to make sure that they have their assault weapons and their guns should something act up. And so you're dealing with something that is generational. This has been taught since the Civil War, okay, of the power structure, So most recently, that's why we need a federal, because the states can run amok and do whatever they want to do. You can see that in any of the bills and or the rights of them take away. You can grow, be weighed, all this other stuff, and then going back to the 1800s to justify what they're doing because they want to stay in the 1800s. So this is where it says, whereas California, which is why they can't stand California, is moving a different way with red flag laws. And even I'm also proud of our governor, Gavin Newsom, because he went into red areas. He went to Florida. He went to Alabama. He went to Mississippi. And they're saying, don't give up on us. We are fighting. We have our own Jones and Justin Pearsons. We have strong groups, just like Bishop Kaler. We just need the numbers to make this work and to bring people over one person at a time. But it's almost like what God is saying. You know, I can't work with you if you don't have your heart open to receive me. So that's where we are at an impasse, where it is the people and the politics and their traditions that are being fought over. And it doesn't matter how many folks get killed. They would have to be a major uprising, which is why this is good, because now they're seeing it. And now the young people will be the ones that will say enough is enough, because we've already seen that in Wisconsin, where after 15 years of a blocked Supreme Court, they elected another Supreme Court justice who is on the other side, the opposite, and which will be good because it will stop the gerrymandering. Memphis and Tennessee are going to be fighting with each other forever if they don't see what's going to be happening. But it's a losing battle because, as you mentioned, they can't hold on to power forever, and the youth are seeing this, and they were the ones that were at the Capitol. So praise the Lord for having that awareness and enlightenment, and I'm going to use the word woke because that's a good word, because it only means awareness, because these are the young folks who are going to outlive the folks who have just expelled them. I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
All right. With that being said, let's give Professor Reams a big hand. Let's give him a really, really big hand. Thank you, Professor Reams, for breaking that down. Thank you so much, Professor Reams. Appreciate that, man. Wow. That was very well said. And we're talking about something that should not be happening. Now, I've been to Washington, D.C. I've been in the Supreme Court. I've been in the state capitol. I've been in the House of Representatives. I've been to Congress. I've shake hands with the presidents, Barack Obama, and when I was there, I picked this up. This is the House of Representatives coin. I don't know if you can see that on Facebook Live. This is the House of Representatives coin right there. You see it nice and bright, and I still have it. And then this is the other side, and that came from the Sergeant-at-Arms in the House of Representatives. And so do I have a tie-in with Washington, D.C.? Yes. Will we be doing something to make change? Yes, we will. I'm going to talk with our professor, Professor Reams, and along with the rest of our colleagues, and I want to put together a bill, and I want to take it to Washington, D.C., to ban assault weapons and also to make sure that people who want to buy a weapon, that they get a mental health background check. We need to add that on to banning the assault weapons, a mental health background check. Are they going to be upset about it? Yes, they will, because the National Rifle Association doesn't want anybody. They want to get guns anytime they feel like it. We need to stop it, because a lot of those people that have those assault weapons, there's something going on up here. They want to kill any and everybody when they get mad and they get upset and they don't know any other way to resolve their situation. They want to pick up a gun and kill a bunch of innocent human beings. No, we're going to stop that, okay? We're going to stop that. With that being said, because it's 10:19 and we need to go into our other subject, so I want to get a 30-second soundbite from everybody about how they feel about Representative Justin Jones and Representative Justin Pearson being expelled, not suspended. However, let me tell you this so you can be up on the news. They are appealing this. Yes, they are. And not only are they appealing this, they are filing a lawsuit against the GOP. That's right. Yes, they are. And they're probably going to win, because the reason why they expelled them did not make sense. But it's okay, you know, because guess what? They don't know what they started. I'm glad they did what they did. So now they're going to see how strength runs in numbers. And this goes a lot. Everybody on this show, you have a right to exercise your right to make sure the change comes. Change won't come unless we make change come, okay? We need to be assertive and aggressive to make sure the change comes. And we will not get change if we don't make the change. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game, we can't fall for nothing, y'all. And that's what we've been doing. We've been bamboozled. We've been buffooneried. We've been everything else. And guess what? Because we allow these things to happen when we don't have to. But see, when you know that you know that you know whose you are and whom's you are, you can walk with faith. Because see, God said that faith without works is dead. If you have the faith, and that's going to bring me to our word of the week and our scripture of the week. But before we get to our word of the week and scripture of the week, get your pencil and paper out. And while we're doing that, we're going to go to Brother Clarence M. Allen. Just a short soundbite, Clarence. What do you think about Justin Jones and Representative Justin Pearson being expelled and not the Caucasian woman, white Representative Gloria Johnson, who was a part of the Tennessee Three? I'm not being biased or racist towards her. I'm just saying she didn't get expelled, but they did. Go ahead, Clarence. Take the floor.
Yes, well, Professor Ream summed it all up so eloquently. And, you know, it's just this good old boys organization wants to exercise their muscle, flex their muscle and power, you know. And due to their racism and their biases, they want to use them as an example that we are still in charge. We call the shots here. But they'll be back in. You know, they're going to have a reelection. And then this might even get overturned. So we'll see here in the near future. Great topic, Pastor Eddie.
Thank you so much, Brother Clarence. That was really wonderful. Now, Sister Sheila Timberlake had a question. I want to make sure it says, okay, now, okay. Don't the voters vote the people in? And if they do, isn't it the people who are to vote them out? Yes, we can. But guess what? If you have people that don't believe in voting, you have a problem. Especially if they're African-American or an ethnicity that don't have faith in the system. We need to have faith in God, and we need to stand up and vote as a people. Some of our people that need to be voting are not voting, and that's the problem. Everyone has a right to vote. Even if you've been incarcerated, you have a right to vote. Once you're off parole or probation, your right to vote is reenacted. So don't feel like you don't have a right to vote. They want you. Don't you know this is the plan? This is the plan for you not to want to vote. And if you don't vote, your vote doesn't count. And we're going to leave that right there. We're about to go into that topic in just a few minutes. I want to go to Talana Jones. Wait, let me make sure. Wait, we got a caller in Texas, 831-220. Are you there? Caller in 831-220. Are you there? Caller in the 831-220. Did you want to say something this morning? Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. That's out of Texas. Maybe they just want to listen to the show. Okay. Okay, and we have some other callers here. But before we do that, I want to go to Aretha Adams-Jones. Aretha, how do you feel about the Representative Jones and Representative Pearson being expelled, not suspended, expelled indefinitely from their positions as representatives in Congress to represent the people in Tennessee? How do you feel about that?
I think it's horrible. I think it's concerning. And we just, you know, there are a lot of people that need to just wake up. If you think that racism is not alive and well, even in politics, in high places, it is still here. And I was happy to hear that you said that there is an appeal and a pending lawsuit, and it is my hope that this will be overturned because it's really absurd. Thank you for letting me share. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Aretha Adams. That is such a wonderful thing. Let's go to Bishop Taylor There he is right there. Bishop Taylor, take the floor. What do you feel, Bishop Taylor, about the representative Justin Jones and Justin Pearson being expelled from Congress? How do you feel about that?
Well, Brother Eddie, I think it's wrong that they were treated that way. The people voted to send them into Congress, and I don't think the House had no right to send them, expel them for what they did. Had they done something to break, you know, serious rules and things, would have been fine. But on the contrary, it did them a favor because God is going to elevate them. He's going to expand them where they were known, maybe just in Memphis. They're going to be known all over the world. So to God be the glory for the things he's doing. God, back to you, Brother Eddie.
Hey, man, let's give Bishop a hand. Whoa, Bishop, whoa, that was beautiful. Man, that's well said, Bishop, well said, well said, well, well said. Clarence and Allen, our co-producer of the show, said, I want to read this really quick. He said, we have to understand that these young men were voted out for disorderly conduct on the floor of Tennessee's House of Chamber. That's why they had gotten voted out by the majority, it is written. Yes, and that's the sad part. That's the sad part, that somebody can vote you out because you want to say something out of your mouth. Do you know how long they've been trying to silence black people? Do you know how long they didn't want black people to learn how to read? Do you know how long they didn't want black people to teach black history? They still don't want you to teach black history. They still don't want you to know the truth about who built America. They still want you to live a lie. And, oh, God, this is the part that really bothers me the most. And, you know, we all love God. But during slavery, they used the Bible as a weapon to control us by telling you, if you don't get down on your knees and pray, we're going to sell your son to the south, your daughter to the north, and your other cousins to the east. And you'll never see them again. And this was they used the Bible as a weapon. But we have to remember the Bible is a way for us to understand what God has in store for us, not for what man has in store for us. And no man, you know. Good morning, Delaney. How are you? God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We should never allow man to control us. We can't put our trust in this man. We need to put our trust in God. Amen. And if you're not trusting God, you're in trouble. And if you trust anything but God, you're in trouble. So stay focused on God and watch God work a miracle with Representative Justin Jones and Representative Justin J. Pearson and Representative Gloria Johnson. We're praying that they all will be put back into the position where they need to be so they can do the job that they need to do to keep on fighting for assault weapons being banned, not only in Tennessee, but all over the United States of America, because especially people who have mental health disabilities, that if anybody goes in to buy a gun, I'm going to say this one more time, and I'm going to work with our professor and Clarence and everybody else to write a bill that if someone goes in to buy an assault weapon, that they get a mental health background check, a mental health background check. Yes, and also we're working to ban assault weapons so that nobody can walk into school like that Audrey did in Nashville, Tennessee, and shoot three innocent kids and kill three teachers and a faculty member. Okay, we're tired of school shootings. Aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired of seeing innocent kids being shot up by even these grown men that go into the school? This youngster walked into a school, and the police were scared to go in and shoot the guy. He killed all those people that could have been stopped had the police had enough courage, and all those officers were eventually fired and sued, and they deserve it, okay? I'm going to close out on that topic. I wanted to go to Talana Jones. Oh, here she is right here. Hey, Talana, take the floor. What do you think about Representative Justin Jones and Representative Justin J. Pearson being expelled from their representative position to represent the state of Tennessee because they wanted to ban assault weapons? Go ahead, Talana.
I just want to speak life into the appeal and say that justice will be served, because I feel, as you just said that earlier, and everyone on the panel has shared, I just feel like this. White privilege is overrated. In certain sense, I've also heard also, but I want to just piggyback a little, because for centuries we've been told no. And now that we're waking up and becoming more aware of our culture and where we come from and all the things that we were not privy to growing up, I mean, it's almost like now it's a stigma and a program. So it feels, where we've been, I really feel like it hasn't went away. There's TV, there's music, there's other forms of ways where they try to conform people and make them believe things that are not exactly what is us. So I believe that they deserve justice. And I hope the woman speaks up for them, because that would be disrespectful and a disservice. You work together, so you have to finish what you started. So I just pray for all three of them, and I pray for justice.
Amen. Thank you so much, Lana. Thank you so much. In the essence of time, it's 10:31 a.m., 10:31 a.m. Yes, yes. Thank you very much, Lana. It was very well said. It's 10:31 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're in Los Angeles. We're in California, and well, we are at the part of the show where we're getting ready to get ready for our regular segments of the show. We have Mental Health and You, and normally we would have Health and Wellness with Vera Jones, but I think I'm going to do a little Health and Wellness just in her place for today, but she'll be back next week. We also have Regulate the Manual with Clarence M. Allen. We have Poetry in Motion with Linda Goldie. But last but not least, oh, yeah, we have a sports report with Cousin V. She's going to give us a sports report. And then last but not least, we have the commentary with Professor Reams. And you don't want to miss any of these, a commentary of which is a review of the entire show. You want to hang out and stick around. And I am so glad that I just want to thank everybody who's listening to the show from all over the United States, Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, North Dakota, South Dakota, Augusta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, Texas, Arkansas, everywhere. Thank you, guys. Colorado, everywhere. Just thank you, Denver. Thank you, guys, for listening to the show. I appreciate y'all. And all the people that are listening from abroad, China, Russia, Japan, Germany, Africa, Dubai, Egypt, Turkey, all you guys that are listening, thank you so much. We appreciate you, and I hope that you are being educated, knowledgeable, and up to date on evergreen, fresh news, okay? With that being said, let's go into our second topic, and we're only going to do sound bites. We're going to revisit our second topic next week, but before I give you our second topic, let me give you the word of the week. Write it down. The word of the week is jurisdiction. That's right. Jurisdiction. Define that, look it up, and find out what jurisdiction means and make it applicable to what we're talking about right now. Because there's certain things that we should have jurisdiction over, especially when it comes to a freedom of speech. Okay? That is actually one of our amendment rights, to have the right to a freedom of speech. Okay? And our scripture of the week is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And it reads, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." I picked that scripture because it goes along with what Representative Justin Jones and Representative Justin J. Pierce and Representative Gloria Johnson are standing up for. They're standing with God in solidarity that God will turn this thing around and make it the way it's supposed to be. Not man's way, but God's way. I want to read that scripture to you one more time. The word of the week is jurisdiction. The scripture of the week is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and it reads, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." Let that sink into the resonance of your heart and mind. Make that your scripture of the week. Open up your Bible to it. Leave it there. Every morning you get up, read that scripture, and make it applicable to your day. Okay? Amen. With that being said, it's 10:34 a.m. We're going to do, yes, the word of the week is jurisdiction. Thank you, Vera. And the scripture of the week is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Hallelujah. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And with that being said, we're going to do a soundbite on our second topic, and we're going to revisit it next week. Does the black vote even matter? Does the black vote even matter? I'll tell you what I think after I hear from everyone else. We're going to open up with Aretha Adams-Jones. Aretha, I want your opinion. Does the black vote even matter? Take the floor.
Yes, the black vote does matter, and I'm happy that you brought this this topic to this platform, because a lot of times people say, oh, my vote doesn't matter. I'm not going to go out and vote. One vote doesn't matter. But it does. It does matter. Every vote counts, and yes, the black vote matters. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you so much. Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, does the black vote matter?
Well, Pastor Eddie, to all our listeners, if the black vote didn't matter, you know, there wouldn't be people who have been killed, jailed, beaten, prosecuted, and all sorts of other things, you know. If the black vote didn't matter, we wouldn't have these three representatives in that House chamber in Tennessee being voted out or having to vote against them not to exhibit their power and authority for what they have been voted in.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Clarence. Thank you so much. Vera, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V, said, absolutely, 100%, the black vote must matter, and it does matter.
Right.
Okay, with that being said, I'm sorry, did someone say something? Go right ahead. Okay, hold that thought. With that being said, we're going to go to Talana Jones. Talana Jones, take the floor. Does the black vote matter?
Absolutely, your voice. Mm-hmm. Your voice should be heard. Anyone who feels like their voice should not be heard has been silenced. I absolutely believe that our vote counts.
Amen, amen, amen. That was from Talana Jones. Talana, thank you so much for sharing. That is so important. Hallelujah, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And last but not least, let's go to our professor, Professor Reams, to get the closing statement on, does the black vote matter? Professor, take the floor. Does the black vote matter?
Absolutely, 100%, because if it didn't, they wouldn't be trying to suppress the vote, cheat through gerrymandering. We wouldn't have had Justin Jones, Justin Pearson, or Fani Willis, Alvin Bragg, Letitia James, Kamala Harris, Raphael Warnock, changing the America from white to brown, the 2020 election, and all the other things that we're benefiting from the black vote. So, yes, it does matter.
Hallelujah. Praise God for whom I'm blessing. So, yes, the black vote matters. And now let me close out with my – oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Bishop Taylor. Come on, Bishop Taylor. Does the black vote matter? Does the black vote matter? Go ahead, Bishop Taylor.
Absolutely, the black vote matters. We got to vote. Because it matters. Amen. We see where we are today because of people that have sacrificed and voted for us. Absolutely, the black vote matters. Back to you.
Wow, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Bishop. Now, I picked this topic for a reason, because for those who don't believe in the black vote, I hope that the words that you heard from each and every co-producer and our special guest gives you the ability to understand and comprehend that your vote does matter. Your black vote matters. Your Latino vote matters. Your Asian vote matters. If you're in the United States of America and you are a citizen of the United States of America, your vote matters. How do we get these wicked people out of here, out of office? We need to vote. And that's what I'm going to say about that. I'm going to leave that right there. We're going to move on to our regular segment at this time. And, hey, Denise Washington, thank you for joining us. Welcome to our show. God bless you and all your family, and sending peace, joy, love, and happiness to all of our Gardenites, our Susan Miller Dorsey High School alumni, to the executive board that I'm on, the Alumni Association,
and to all of the people that I grew up with in the Baldwin Hills area, sending out much love to you right now. Without further ado, we're going to our regular segment. We're going to start off with a little health and wellness, and I'm going to do it in the place of my sister Vera, and then we're going to go to mental health and you. And then following that, we'll go to Clarence A. Mallon with Regulate the Manual, and then we'll go on to Linda Goldie. So anyway, here's our health and wellness for today. If you don't know what it is, it's called moringa. Moringa is so good for you. Moringa has a lot of attributes that are good for the human body. Moringa will help your digestive system. It will help you regulate your blood. It'll help, you know, get you all cleaned out. And what do? Moringa grows. It's one of the best. Just look it up. I can't give you everything about moringa, but that's going to be our health and wellness segment for today, is check out moringa and see what moringa does for the human body. I want to thank my wife for mixing me up some moringa, and I drink it down, and it'll help you lose weight. It'll help your digestive system. It'll clean your blood, and moringa is good for you. And actually, we have a couple of moringa plants, and we get the leaves off the moringa plant, and the wife puts them in the blender, blends them up real good, turns it into a powdery substance, and we mix it up with water, and we drink it on down, and it's good for you. So that will conclude our health and wellness segment for today. I did that in the place. I stood in the shoes of Dr. Granny V, and I hope I did a good job. Talking about moringa, tell me, Vera, did I do a good job? Well, Vera said,
good job.
Waiting on something. Thanks. Thank you so much. Thank you guys very much on health and wellness. Without further ado, please take the floor, Aretha Adams-Jones, affectionately known as Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones. She's not a real doctor, but we call her that on the show. So please take the floor and give us mental health and you. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. Good morning. Good morning. This is Mental Health and You. So listen, our dogs deserve all the love and affection we can give them, which is why, that's right, there's a special day dedicated just to hugging them today. Today is April the 10th, and it's National Hug Your Dog Day. Did you know that hugging your dog, a hormone in both the pup and the person, and it's called oxytocin, informally referred to as the cuddle hormone. So not only does a good tight squeeze strengthen your bond with your dog, or your pet for that matter, it shows your pet that you care. Today is a day to celebrate your dog for all they do. So grab your dog and give them an extra cuddle today. I do not have a dog, but I have an amazing cat, and I'm going to give little Grayson a big hug today. And just remember, mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you.
Paul, let's give a big hand for Aretha Adams-Jones. Thank you so much, Aretha. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yes.
I'm going to hug my dog. Yes, I'm going to hug my dog. Yes?
Pastor Eddie.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Bishop Taylor. Go right ahead.
Ask Dr. Adams, does that mean the two-legged dogs, too?
Oh my gosh.
Yes,
oh,
the two-legged dog too.
you know, with that being said, I'm just gonna tell you guys a quick little pet joke. There was a dog I knew. The dog had a half a tail, one ear, and only three legs, and they called him Lucky. His name was Lucky. I'm gonna leave that right there.
God bless Lucky.
Yes. Oh my god. Okay, we got a caller. We got a caller in the 754-888 area code.
Call in to 754-888 area code. Are you there?
Yes, good morning, everyone.
Oh, my gosh, it's Cousin V. Cousin V, everybody say good morning, Cousin V.
Good morning, Cousin V. Good morning.
And before you start, I just want to read something. Vera just sent this out. Moringa protects the liver, the heart, the lungs and kidney, lower blood sugar. It assists with inflammation, numerous minerals and vitamins, reduces pain. And she said, I did an outstanding job on health and wellness this morning. Let's give Vera Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V, a big hand for sending us that information real quick. Let's give her a big hand.
Dr. Granny V.
Without further ado, it is time for the sports report. Cousin V, please take the floor. Give us the sports report, and then we'll do Regulate the Manual. Go right ahead.
Well, good morning from sunny South Florida, but it's raining here this morning, so it's still a great day. First of all, I'm going to just go. They mostly going to be like a few sound bites because there's a lot of sports going on. We got the USFL, which will start next Saturday, so they're coming back into play. And then we also have the XFL that is also playing ball right now. So now we got plenty of football. It's not the NFL, but it's football. Then we also have the WWE and the UFC. They're going to join forces. So this weekend they had the fight, UFC 287, between Israel Adesanya, and he defeated Alex Pierre with a knockout for the UFC title. And then we have the WNBA draft. It will be starting tonight at 7, and all times are always Eastern time on our Florida coast side. The NFL draft, it will be starting April 27th through the 29th. And then we have in NASCAR, the All-Star race is coming back. They're opening, and they did restoration and modification, a part of history at the North Wilkesboro Speedway in North Carolina. It's going to be 75-year celebration, which was from 1948 to 2023, and it will feature all your all-stars like Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Richard Petty from the 60s, Jeff Gordon, Gano. And so most of them were on featured this weekend on the interviews. And so the All-Star Racetrack has not been used since 1996, and it will be shown on May 21st on FS1. So the NASCAR is also live, so you can look up their schedule at NASCAR and see what the schedules are when they're coming to your area. Because I know they did. They just finished in Phoenix a couple of weeks ago. They're coming back to Miami, and they will also be doing Daytona, I think, in the next week. And then we had Tiger Woods. He did participate in the Masters, but he had to pull out due to the plantar fasciitis. If you never had it, and I know I have, you cannot even walk on your foot. It hurts so bad, and there's really nothing you can do but just to wait it out. But he had to pull out for that. But then John Rahm, he won the Masters for this week. Wow. And then we have the last from the NCAA, we did have that Florida Atlantic, they lost to San Diego. So that was in the last minute for the championship. So hats off to San Diego for winning. Yes, yeah, California versus Florida again. And so then just some of the Major League Baseball scores, what's going on now. You know, they play like four games at a time. So the Miami Marlins beat the Mets yesterday 7-2. The Guardians beat the Mariners 7-6. The Brewers
beat the Cardinals 6-1. The Astros beat the Twins 5-1. The Rangers beat the Cubs 8-2. The Rockies beat the Nationals 7-6. The Giants beat the Royals 3-1. Angels lost by 1 point to the Blue Jays 12-11. And the Dodgers, the California team versus the Arizona team where Eddie and my sons live, the Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers 11-6. And then the Padres beat the Braves 10-2. This is my sports report, and y'all have a blessed week. And happy Resurrection Day from yesterday.
All right, all right, all right. Let's give Cousin Lee. All right, all right, all right. All right, all right, all right. Now, real quick, because we got 10 minutes left and we got a lot to do, let's do words of wisdom. Words of wisdom with my daughter, Talana Jones. Talana Jones, take the floor. Give us words of wisdom.
All right, everybody, really fast. Good morning. Welcome to Words of Wisdom. Today, I'll be as short as I can, and I pray you enjoy. When will justice be served? When does the problems of organized crime, brutalized murder, and lack of discipline end? When will we learn to embrace education, wisdom of understanding, and deeper meaning on how to help our people with mental health disability or illnesses, our elders, civilians, family, and youth, and our friends? Remember the torch of mentorship to keep in mind, to raise awareness and not to tear each other down. Remember that leadership isn't just a title with powers. To lead our foundational seed is a privilege and should be exercised with strength and unconditional love. Be willing and open to receive aged wisdom and newfound wisdom. We have to stand up for our rights. We have been manipulated. We have been manipulated in other teachings that have been going on for centuries, as I said earlier, to diminish our power within. They'll reap what they have sown. No one is above God. God bless you all, and thank you for listening to Words of Wisdom.
All right, the words of wisdom. All right, Joanna. Wow. Oh, my gosh. That was so touching. That was really touching. Thank you so much. You almost got your dad in tears over here. That was amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Wonderful.
Wow, man. Thank you so much, Lana. Without further ado, it's 10:52 a.m. We're going to go to Clarence M. Allen with Regulate the Manual. Clarence, take the floor. Regulate the Manual. And then finally, we will have the closing with Bishop Taylor, and we will have none other than the commentary from Professor Reams. Go right ahead, Clarence, take the floor.
Welcome, welcome one, welcome all, welcome to everyone who has made his or her attempts with attending the House of Bang. Only the finest gangbangers are allowed. Nothing less is allowed inside. So the finest gangbangers are allowed. So let's open the doors and open the doors up wide to each and every gangbanger. Welcome and come on inside. Do not be scared. Crips, Blood, Essays, Asians, White Boys, and to any and everybody else who think that they can bang. Now the days have come to put your claim to the fame that is in this gangbanging thing. Gangbangers, it does not matter what race, creed, or color you are, nor does it matter where you're from. When you are a banger, where you come from doesn't matter. People, they definitely know when a gangbanger is around. Now that we have all of you so-called gangbangers in here, have a seat. Now that you're all here, I have a little surprise for you all. Hey, boys, let's allow these true well-known OG gangbangers inside of the House of Bang. In order to eliminate some of the DA rejects and to keep from having many mistakes, we must check out each and everyone's credentials. There must be the assurances that each and everyone's reputed credentials are authentic and not booted. There are all kind of fake fraud and part-time broads who are always perpetrating to be a banger, and they are not. there will always be someone who will be perpetrating to be a banger and trying to get in the house of bang, perpetrating for the most part and fully penetrating the life to live as a gangbanger and won't put up one duke. So check everyone out. I mean, everyone gets checked out. There are only the few, the proud, and the gangbangers allowed inside of the house of bang. If you want to get to the house of bang, you got to read in the gangbangers, only found in the book titled Regulate the Manual. Go to regulatethemanual.com or hit me up. If you have the book, revisit that section because there's too much violence going on around in our streets. Thank you for listening. Thank you for having me. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. And everything you do, regulate, and everything will fall into place because it is written and you are in here.
Amen. Let's give a big hand for Clarence. Amen. Thank you, Brother Clarence. Thank you, Brother Clarence. Okay.
Well,
wow. That was good. You know, I'm going to stay far away from the house of bang because ain't it? Those game bangers. Well, without further ado, I want to go to Bishop Taylor to get his closing remarks, and then we're going to hear the commentary from Professor Reams. Bishop Taylor, give us a soundbite. What are your closing remarks for everybody out there right now? Go ahead, Bishop.
Thank you again. Thank you again, Brother Eddie, for having us. I want us you to pray for Save Our Seed. Minister Malone and I will be going to Chicago this weekend to start a men's, Glad Dad men's gathering in Chicago. And then on June 28th, 29th, and 30th, here in Culver City, we'll be having our third annual Save Our Seed at national and international conference. And I certainly want the Pastor Eddie Jones radio show and all of our sponsors to be with us at the Four Point Sheraton in Culver City. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Bishop Taylor. We are such an honor to have you on the show today. Yes, such an honor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, we're going to go over a little bit. We want to take our time. We're just going to go over a couple of minutes. So we want to definitely hear the whole entire commentary. Professor Reams, without further ado, take the floor. Give us the commentary. Take your time.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. A wonderful show, once again, hitting some key topics that will send us moving forward in the right direction and also to contemplate what our role will be when we're dealing with our own journey with the Lord as well. So thank you so much for the wonderful platform. I also say thank you so much for Cousin V for giving us a sports report on what's going on. To Clarence Allen, thank you for regulating me as our prophet, the regulator for Regulate the Manual, and the Honda Soul Brother. A shout out to Dr. Granny V and Moringa. I'm certainly going to look into that. Talana Jones, as usual, words of wisdom, superb. Knocked it out of the ballpark, as usual. Dr. Aretha, as usual. I have my four-legged babies, two of them, so I'm going to be giving an extra hug today because they've been very quiet. And to a shout-out to Linda Goldie and to Bishop Taylor, thank you so much, everything, especially the great work that you're doing with Save Our Seeds, because that's the inspiration of us all, what you're doing and how you're trying to bring us all together. So, everyone, this is sort of like a clarion call. I mean, we are here in the middle of – we're making history every minute of every day for the past 24 hours. Last week, it was the indictment of number 45, and now the aftermath of that. So long in waiting. Now we are seeing that the woke or awareness that's coming up where what people suspected in Tennessee was going on was actually going on. And so it shows how deeply and deeply racist and how controlling that a government agency can be and how controlled it is by the millionaires, and those that are in the lobbyists. So take note of it, because if it's happening in one state, it's happening across all the other 50 states overall. So this is a nice clarion call to get active and to follow what Second Timothy has talked to us about, which I'll get back to a little later. And then when we talked about the black vote, and we've said unanimously it is very important that you get involved, because again, we're seeing a lot of the changes when everyone has acted up, when we have that win in a midterm session. Let's not forget, the midterms was supposed to be a red wave, and because the votes came in, especially with the black community, that wave turned into barely a trickle. So we put up a blue dam against the red wave on the issue of whether we are going to be selfless or selfish, and that question was answered. One of the problems that we have with politics overall and trying to change things is that it takes a long time. So we have to get into the mindset that the little bit that we do puts in motion the baby steps needed for the eventual victory. So we have to learn patience on a long game, that each and every one of us, we may not see it in our lifetimes, or we might see it later on years from now, but we have to put in the foundation to make it done. That's why, like, John Luther is definitely saluting both the Justins overall, because, again, that's part of his legacy, along with Pastor Jones, along with all of us, that there's enough work to do. We just need to actually do it and get up and do things. And I will say and share with you this. That Wisconsin win took all of us. I was on the phone calling. I was sending money. I was sending cards and doing whatever I could do. Every election, I am involved in it monetarily with my cards and with my voice to make sure that everyone else gets to vote. I'm in California. They're in Wisconsin. But it doesn't matter to me, because it is the right thing to do, because that is what the good Lord has asked us to put ourselves into. And one thing to remember is that the Tennessee 3 reminds us of 3 is God's number, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the 3 of them are going to be doing the best that they can. And when it becomes national, the thing that we need to do is support them. As Gavin Newsom mentioned from the other states, don't give up on them. Make sure that if you have family members that are there and they need some support, or you want to send some letters, you want to get active, because the little bit, the more that this becomes national, it means that wherever state something happens, nationally we will be mobilized to make the change. No one should be in isolation, because we are the United States. And in doing so, it allows us to do, as Bishop Taylor said, we are better together in breaking down the walls. And these are the walls that definitely Talana has mentioned that have been used against us for years in order for us to show that our vote doesn't count, we're not worthy, and we certainly do not deserve the rights that we have. But that's wrong, because, again, as we said in 2 Timothy, God's jurisdiction is all over the place. We, in representing God, have our official power to make legislation and to be judges ourselves. He did not put us on here with a spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is happening with the enemy. That's why they are gerrymandering. That's why they are suppressing the vote. That's why they treated these two young men the way that they've done that. Whereas the good Lord says, we have a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind, and let's not forget patience and forgiveness. Because I will repeat this again, when we are together, we can do anything, and we are better together because, as Bishop Taylor said, we are breaking down walls with God. And with that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the rain.
Praise the Lord. Oh, my gosh. Professor, what an amazing commentary. I don't know what to say except for what an amazing commentary. For everybody on Facebook Live, I want to see your hearts right now. Just throw those hearts up right now to let us know that you heard all that wonderful information. What a show we have for you today. Please, your right to vote is so important. Everybody's right is important to vote. And remember, you have your civil rights, your constitutional rights, your human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. And here it is.
we're going to say what we always say every week. Remember, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limit, no limit. And remember, last but not least, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. We'll be here next Monday. We'll be here next Monday. God bless you guys. You are loved by us, and we are loved by you, and there's nothing you can do about it. God bless y'all. Peace.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket line and picket sign. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Right.